Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yeah, welcome in to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. A start to the weekend today. Maybe an early weekend for some people. Who knows? Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Probably a little bit better rested than you two, huh?
Yeah. Probably a little bit.
Keezer's a little cranky today. You can tell.
You can't look at tell.
Look at how him. Am I cranky?
How am I cranky?
How am I cranky? I don't know, Nick. How are you? What's going
I'm
on?
I'm doing
there?
Great. I just need
I'm
some coffee.
A great day. That's my guy, Jeff Rudnick. Remember how I've,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've shout out my guy, Jeff Rudnick from Lansing State Journal. I'm having a great day. That's Nick Keezer today.
Nick, you have no thoughts on how you're doing?
I said I'm doing great.
Oh, okay. See, he is cranky.
I'm just yeah. needing. I just need some coffee.
Yeah.
Jeez.
You don't have any coffee?
Not yet, Joe.
Why?
There's a lot of sass coming from the other end of that microphone.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of coffee here.
We have coffee. Get some.
My goodness.
Jeez.
Joe, some people.
I'm biting my head off.
Have James Bond. We have Tanner Bond today.
Tanner Bond. Nice.
How many times have people made that joke throughout your life? Probably a spare few. Yeah. That's what I thought. Tanner Bond. Seeing what the world of sports is like with us today. I'm sure there's no brighter shining light of example of the world of sports than me and you.
Exactly.
Right here.
Exactly. So job shadowing.
Yes. Me and you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to know what sports is, it's pretty much us.
This hour does not count.
The height of the sports.
Yeah. Yeah 6 o'clock yeah, hour doesn't count like for six, nothing.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. Exactly. I got a lot to get into on the program here today. Jared Stillman will join us at 8 o'clock. He was doing some Sirius XM last night, Joe. So I guess 7 o'clock was too early for Stillman. So 8 o'clock will be his time today. So looking forward to that coming up at 8 o'clock. I'm sure we'll get into a lot of different things. He texted me last night, Joe, at like 11:45. We were having this conversation. And says, hey, have you seen the Titans Christmas card? And then he sends me a picture of the Titans Christmas card, which is this weird like animated Christmas thing. And it's got, you know, an animated Amy Adams Strunk, an animated Santa Claus and his elves, seeing, like, the plans for the Titans' new stadium on the front of it. And it's got an animated Mike Vrabel up there. And he's like, you see who's not on the card? And I was like, yep.
Oh, good God.
Rand Carthon okay. is not on there.
Yeah. This is
that was at 11:45 last night.
Brilliant. Inspector Clouseau's on the case then. I wonder, how does that compare to the – what is it again? The greatest Titan or the special Titan?
Oh, yeah.
Stretch. Yeah. John Stryker.
The honorary Titan or whatever.
The honorary
it was.
Titan.
Yeah.
Ah, they're trying to get us ready for him as GM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that one. That was a doozy of a take, too. There's a long list of things.
We really need a running database.
We really do.
Of Jared's takes.
We really do. So we'll get into that with Stillman coming up a little bit later in the program. As always, we encourage your thoughts, your text, your calls. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tough one for the Preds last night. They get hammered at home, 6-3 by Calgary. And quite frankly, a game where they looked dreadful. They were terrible in the game last night. And it was a combination of things. Number one, I thought UC Saros was bad. He did not have his best stuff coming off a shutout performance against Chicago. There's a couple that just trickled through that you normally see him stop. And the first period in particular was pretty rough from him. I did think he settled down a little bit in the second and made some big saves there, but he gets pulled after the second period. It's a fifth time this year he's been pulled, which you don't see that happen a whole lot. So it's fifth time. I think they've all been at home too, which has also been strange. But fifth time this year that he's been pulled, and the defense in front of him last night was just atrocious. And I thought in particular there were a couple plays from Yossi and certainly a couple plays from Fabro that were just brutal last night defensively. And you got a game that at the time you were 6 points up on the Flames heading in there and they were kind of nipping at your heels a little bit. You think it's a huge game and Predators did not respond well last night.
Yeah, so it does seem to me, I know sometimes this is deceiving, but it seems to me like he's had a lot more meltdown starts than we're used to seeing. I will cite Nick's Nick's cohort at National Hockey Now, Michael Gallagher, had a good stat here that I want to go through. So he has number of games in which Saros allowed four or more by year. So 7 in 20, 19 in 21, 16 in 22. He's at 10 already this year. And in this year, he's in 32%, whereas in those other years, he's in the 20s. So it's not like massive. It seems bigger than that, actually, to me.
Yeah.
So, first of all, big picture hockey question for you. Like, has anyone ever in the history of the NHL said, yeah, the goalie sucked tonight?
No.
No one's ever said that, right?
No.
I mean, and there are some incredibly bad goalies that it's clearly on them over the years, but, like, no one's ever said that, right?
Not often. Like, when somebody says, you know, it would be nice to get a save occasionally, and then I, like, stop. I'm like, whoa, look at there.
Who said that?
No, I can't. I couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay.
I just think it's probably like Tortorella's probably
like I was going to say Torts would be like yeah. right the guy who might do it.
But to answer your question, no, it's never the goalie's fault.
So that's it's always in things like this. It's like I mean, how many of those goals were straight up soft goals from Saros?
At least a couple of them.
Three.
You got three? You got three?
I would say so. Yeah. Joe, that's also this is another one you mentioned, Michael. I noticed this. It's the 13th time since October of 2022 that Saros has allowed five or more goals in a game. And I'm not sure. I want to do more of a comp.
That's right. That was your tweet, wasn't it?
Mm. I want to see what's more around the league with that, maybe since then. Yep. But I don't think that's encouraging.
Well, you know, it certainly derails. I mean, you got a shutout performance. And look, I know it was Chicago the other night, and they're just atrocious. Connor Bedard, notwithstanding, they're awful. So it was a good performance by him the other night. I thought he looked sharp. I thought he was good. He didn't get tested a whole lot, but I thought he was good. Last night, I mean, it was just right out of the gate. You have one on the power play that kind of just sneaks through you that you should probably stop. And then 27 seconds later, I mean, Coleman throws a wrist shot from the left circle. And it's a good shot, but it hits Saros in the glove. And it just trickles in off the glove. And you don't see that happen very often when he's letting in goals like that. Now, beyond that, I do it like two things can be true. He was not good, and I don't know what they were doing out there defensively last night, but it was bad. I mean, it was really bad. And Andrew Brunette, after the game, was not happy. He was not happy with his team's performance. And he talked about the importance of the game last night and kind of the checklist of things that he had addressed with the team before the game. And he did not mince words last night about his team. Here's what Andrew Brunette had to say after the game.
What's the message you after that first period?
Well, I think the message was probably extremely frustrated. I think we talked about it. We knew the importance of this game. We discussed how home ice means something, how we want to establish our game, how we want to dictate, how we wanted to win battles, how we wanted to outcompete them, and we did none of them.
So that was Brunette after the game, and he was you could tell. I mean, he was frustrated walking in the room last night. And, you know, it's been interesting because, I mean, if you look back to basically mid-November, Joe, I mean, they've done a whole lot of winning. There's a lot of points that they've collected. They had the 5-10 start, and they've gotten themselves into a wild card spot here. Now, that wild card spot is quickly becoming a little precarious with Edmonton behind them, and you got Arizona behind them, and St. Louis, and a lot of teams that are going to end up being right there. Seattle's playing a lot better. So a lot of teams that are going to be in there, and it already kind of feels like there's basically one spot, maybe two, that's going to be available. Like, Edmonton is playing so well right now, they're going to get in. They're too good to not be in. So there's been a little bit of a kind of behind-the-scenes heightened sense of urgency that you could feel from Andrew Brunette for a couple of weeks now, and he's not always been thrilled with the way that they've played, even though they've won some of these games. And I felt like some frustration from some of that kind of boiled over with Andrew Brunette last night in the postgame press conference.
Yeah. And, hey, you know, good for him. He called out sometimes. You're going to have some stinkers, right? So I know he's talked about wanting to play better at home. And so that's a game that you want to win. You got some tough ones coming up. You got a tough road trip coming up, all that stuff. But you're going to have some clunkers. Let me go back on Saros. Money Puck last year. Goal, GSAE, okay, one of my favorite advanced stats. Goal save above expected. Mm-hmm. Last year in 64 games, 46.7, number one in the league. I think that this stat, I mean, you look at who's at the top of it, you know, I mean, it's the top guys in the league and the goals saved above expected. So, again, he saved almost 47 goals more than he should have last year, right?
Yep.
This year he is 39th in the NFL, 39th in the NHL with that stat at 1.9.
Yeah.
Wait, is he lower than that? You know who I just read at 39?
Who's that?
Askarov. This is real. You got excellent stats. Dude, but wait a minute. Where the heck is Saros? Okay. I apologize. That's actually way worse than I thought. Saros is 75th in the league. He is minus 6.3.
Yeah.
So in 31 games, so basically in half, if he was performing per this stat, per this analysis, if he was performing the same as last year on the same pace, he would be at like 23 goals above expected saved. He's minus six. I don't think you can just shrug that off.
I don't think you can shrug it off either. Now, I will say I do think that they've had the puck a little bit more this year, so maybe he's not getting peppered as much.
He got more gimmies because he was getting
right.
You know,
now,
seeing more stuff.
I think the flip side of that is also, and Andrew Burnett talked about this yesterday, and I can't remember if it was with us or if he did it in his pregame press conference yesterday, but it was about the system, right? And how, I think it was with us, when you're trying to be a little bit more offensive and push the pace, at times that's going to leave you vulnerable back there.
Sure.
It's kind of tough on the goalie. So I do think, especially early, there was kind of getting used to that. And, you know, we saw the struggles. And, you know, at one point he had like a 890 save percentage or whatever it was. But I feel like we should probably be past that by now.
But and the thing is about a stat like this, whether you believe it does or not, it's supposed to account
yes.
for that.
Yes.
It's supposed to equalize things so that you're actually – even if you, whatever you're facing as a goalie, this is just, you should save this, you shouldn't save
right.
this, right? So, by the way, good job of Askarov being at 1.9 in two games.
That's pretty good.
A heck of a start. You're on a pace to have 82 above and blow everybody away in the league. Start
well, that's going to be what he is.
Let's start a controversy.
The trading Saros Askarov conversation can come back up.
Yes.
I know which one I would pick there if that's what he would be. Rough one for the Preds last night. We'll take your thoughts on that. Are you worried about UC Saros? What do you make of what we saw from the Preds last night against Calgary? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-1063, the game.
Do you feel like this game could be a wake-up call for your group? Or do you feel like you should have already been there?
Should have already been there. I don't know if this is a wake-up call. I think we've had many of these discussions.
So that was Andrew Burnett after the game last night. You know, he went through the laundry list, Joe, in his post-game press conference about, you know, what a big game this was and basically how disappointed he was in his team's response. And I was like, all right, so is this a wake-up call or do you feel like this should already happen at this point? It sure already happened. Like, we've had several discussions about this. Like, he was very frustrated after the game last night, which is I do think is interesting because, like I said, they have been doing a lot of winning lately. But Andrew Burnett seemed especially mad after the game last night.
I don't know why I'm taking this to, like, big picture, just, like, hockey truths. But, like, in every single team, the greatest teams of all time in 82 games, like, how many times do they just have total turds and then the coach is mad at them?
Oh, it happens.
Yeah.
Quite frequently.
I'm not saying the Preds are on their way to the cup, okay? But it doesn't seem like it's a chronic issue. They had the most points in the league basically over the past 6 weeks going into last night's game.
Correct. Now, I do think, I mean, if you think about the Dallas game, the Detroit game,
killer.
I felt like they let a point get away from him. Like, I think his point is, like, they, even earlier in the season when they were 5-10, they had a lot of games where they just handed points away. And I think that's what's driving him nuts is just, like, the little details. Like, last night, it's 4-2, and you get through the second period, and Saros is making a bunch of – he actually made some pretty good saves in the second period. And you had a chance to kind of hang in there and make a push for it in the third. And then you give up just a backbreaker with less than 2 seconds left in the second period. And it feels like they've done that too often this year, where
yes.
it's like not recognizing – either not recognizing or not being able to execute – in critical moments of the game. Like, you got to be able, like Cole Smith, they were out there in the offensive zone for a long time, so he was exhausted. But, you know, Calgary's coming back the other way on the attack, and you got McDonough and Yossi back, and they're both just kind of loafing because they've been out there forever. And Cole Smith just can't get there on the back check. And I know he was tired. Like, he was really – they had been out there for a while. So, I don't know that – you know, it's not like some gigantic, egregious lack of effort thing from Cole Smith. But, I mean, go back and look at the replay. It doesn't look great when the guy who scores the goal eventually and Cole Smith is right behind him on the whole play just, like, about to die hanging back there. So, it's like just recognizing the moment, just, like, push through it for two more seconds. And you get out of that period, and it's 4-2.
Yeah, and like you said, situationally, these killer goals, you know, the end of periods, but also like the giving up a quick second goal after a goal.
Exactly.
And again, this is one of those things like, am I just imagining that that's a bigger issue with this team, or is it actually? But it's happened too often.
I mean, they had 2 and 27 seconds last night for Calgary to take the 2-0 lead. And again, one of those is, I mean, Saros has got to have it. I mean, it's from the left circle. It goes off his glove. It kind of looked like he was fighting the puck a little bit and ends up in his net. I mean, a couple weird goals last night. That one happened. Michael McCarron in the third period had a dump in from the neutral zone that bounced in off Calgary's goalie. So, I mean, a couple weird goals last night. But it felt like a game where there was a huge opportunity to push a team that's behind you. Not out of it, but certainly to the point where, I mean, if you're 8 points up on them, you're feeling pretty good about where you're at in that race. And now they're 4 points back. And like I said, I mean, this is going to be a race down the stretch here. You've got Edmonton that's right behind you, Arizona. You know, obviously teams like Seattle. I think Seattle's won 5 in a row,
yeah,
somewhere like that. So they're rolling a little bit better right now. So, I mean, you're allowing teams to kind of hang around with performances like last night.
Yeah. Meanwhile, ESPN starts some hockey coverage. And up Broadway, Bedard, let's talk about the Blackhawks, baby. Oh, yeah.
Things are going well for them.
Look, if you go back to October, September, and it's like you're in a playoff spot in early January and you're going to be in a fight, that's, to me, that's great.
Agreed.
So you got to embrace that, but – it is interesting, Andrew Brunette. I mean, pretty obvious in the way he was talking last night. It seems to me some of the most frustrated he has been, you know,
I would agree,
vocally after a game this year.
I would agree. And look, now you've got Dallas coming up on the road. And obviously that's a challenging game. And look, it's not like Dallas is some unbeatable team here, but you got Dallas on the road Saturday. And you got him on the road again next Friday. Like, these are two huge games with the Stars coming up. And look, you owe them one for sure. And look, I don't know that the Predators realistically are going to catch the Stars in the standings. Because, look, the Stars were my pick to win the Stanley Cup before the year. So I think they're a really good team. But I'm just saying, you got some games on the road here that are really challenging coming up. I mean, you got Anaheim at home next week. Dallas on the road again, Islanders at home. And after that, you go on a Western road swing where you got Vegas, who's really good, L.A., who's really good, Arizona, who's in the wild card spot right behind you right now. You got Edmonton on the road later this month. You got Minnesota on the road later this month. Like, you know, Brunette's been kind of looking forward to this for the last few weeks here, and he's like, got to start taking advantage of these games at home because you got a lot of tough ones on the roads coming up.
Yeah, you got to sock some points away. You can't go pointless in a game like this last night and be really not in it.
Yeah, and that's the weird thing because it did feel like – I'm not going to say the effort wasn't there because rarely do I think that that's the case.
They quit, Robbie. They quit.
Right. But it was like they just were so out of whack last night, and they were making stupid mistakes and making bad decisions either with the puck or away from the puck, and it just felt like the focus wasn't where it needed to be. And everybody's going to say, well, it's a young team. And I keep trying to tell everybody, like, it's really not. Like, it's not a young team. They have a few young guys, but it's not a young team. O'Reilly, Yossi, Forsberg, McDonough, Nyquist. I mean, they're actually – when you look at the age, average age, they're not the oldest, but they're on the older side of things in the league. So I think we get a little too caught up sometimes, and it's a bunch of young guys out there. It's like, we got a few young guys out there, but it's not a bunch of young guys out there.
Yeah, I mean, Trotz has made it so that the young guys have a whole bunch of veterans to lead them. And not have to be in all the key situations against veterans in this league,
right?
Which is, I get it. So if that's the case, and we all agree, right, like Ryan O'Reilly and Ryan McDonough and these guys are all great leaders, vocal by example, all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't think that's any kind of excuse.
Well, and a problem that has emerged that even when they've been doing some winning lately, it's still been a problem. Like Novak is totally dried up offensively. Evangelista's been hit or miss. You know, Colton Sissons is playing well. He's contributing offensively. But the point is, like, they're not getting enough consistent offense from anybody right now outside of that top line.
Yeah.
And the top line's been great, and I have no reason to believe the top line is just going to, like, fall apart here because O'Reilly, Nyquist, Forsberg, they're continuing to play well. But at some point, you got to get some not just every now and then threats. You got to get some consistent threats from somebody else, and they don't have it right now.
And I think the most likely guy – Novak, I mean, he was still on a very good pace.
Point per game.
Right. And now, so why do you think that's dried up?
I don't know. It's been interesting. Number one, like they've been kind of mixing and matching that line because nothing's been working. But, you know, he had a couple of looks last night. He had a 2-on-1, and I had somebody tweet me last night. He was like, well, I saw Novak on a 2-on-1. And I felt good about it. Then I remembered mid-rush that you were picking him in Pratt's pick.
Oh, God, that's right. You picked him yesterday. Why am I even asking this question?
Look, dude, the first two shots he had last night, he only ended up with like maybe three or four attempts. First one was on a 2-on-1 last night, and he put a backhand shot, and it probably missed the net by about 8 feet. And then the second one, he had a look right in the slot. And, you know, there's a guy on him, so it wasn't like he was wide open, but he shot it. And he didn't get all of it, and it probably missed the net by like 6 feet. I was like, man, I think this is real. Like, I think I'm the curse.
Yeah. Like, you just have to
I've started eating.
You just have to pick Luke Shen every game.
Sorry, Luke.
He won't be mad at you.
No, he won't.
He'll be fine.
Lozon.
Yeah.
Shen. I mean, I can't even pick McCarron because he's scoring right now.
Oh, no. You have to leave all the forwards alone. This team needs secondary scoring. You got to leave them alone.
Tough one for the Preds last night. We'll see if they can rebound tomorrow coming up on the road against the Dallas Stars. Like you said, Joe, they owe the Stars one, so we'll see what happens on that front.
Okay, hot take alert.
Okay.
So we were talking about Gallagher had a tweet about, you know, Saros struggling. Yep. Teresa Walker quote tweets him because someone just put this on the text line. I missed this. Trevor put this on the text line. Teresa says, makes me wonder if the recent look at a scarf was more than a quick call-up / fill-in.
Mm.
That's a hot take. That's a hot take.
Hey, Kevin. We need you to act like you're sick.
Yeah, seriously.
We're going to bring Askarov up. Don't tell Yussi. Don't tell Yussi. We're going to bring Askarov up. Get a look at him.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin. Yeah, like this. Yeah, try that. Yeah, work on that a little bit. Dude.
I do feel bad for Kevin because he told me, I said, Kevin, did you have a good Christmas? And he said, no. I was like, I know you were sick. I know you were sick, so did you not get to open like anything cool? And he's like, I was in bed the whole time. I'm sorry, man.
I know you're on death's doorstep out there.
Carrying out the ruse. I was really sick, man. Therese, this 6 o'clock hour is becoming us taking shots at the veterans.
Yeah.
We got Glennon. Now we got Teresa with his hot take.
Kevin, were you really sick this Christmas?
My Glennon sucks. Glennon is dried up. Sorry.
Mike, can you tell us, could Trey Avery play goaltender?
Does
for
he
the
have
national
the potential to play goaltender?
We'll get into the Titans coming up next. I have a very simple question. Is there anything happening in this Titans game on Sunday beyond the potential of Derrick Henry's last game and or the off-season fiasco that we've talked about all week that Titans fans care about at all on Sunday? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning, broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round, visit springhillac.com. So, Joe, we've talked a lot this week about Vrabel. We've talked a lot about the off-season checklist of things that the Titans had to do coming up. And we've talked about Derrick Henry and the potential for this being his last game in a Titan uniform coming up on Sunday. Is there anything else that strikes the fancy of Titans fans that they're interested in heading into this week? Because I'm struggling to think of a few things. I think it's like Derrick Henry, and for reasons to show up to the game, I guess if you're sentimental about the tailgating in the parking lot. Those are the two I came up with.
Yeah, that's right, the tailgating. Well, I think the quarterback position one way or the other, I guess anytime Levis plays, he's the most important guy in the organization.
Which, by the way, he did some things on the field yesterday.
Yeah, but if not, then it's, I mean, what about the undercard of farewell and thanks for the memories of Ryan Tannehill? Anything there?
I mean, I think there should be. It does feel like Titans fans kind of moved on from it.
Yeah. I mean, once he lost the job. But still, I mean, the Tannehill and Henry together, pretty good stuff, man.
For sure. Well, I mean, it's the second most successful era of Titans history, right? Since they made the switch to being the Titans. It's the McNair, Eddie George, all that stuff. And then it was Tannehill, Henry. Like, that was the next era here with the Titans. So, I agree. It just feels like Tannehill, even though I think there's a strong possibility he plays, it doesn't feel like from the Titans fan base that there's much play on that this week.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, I guess in a lot of scenarios over the years, it's like when you start talking about them or whatever, Derrick Henry kind of overshadows them. I think at times it's been unfairly so, but I get it this time because – you know, Henry didn't lose his job. Henry could come back. Henry has been, Henry's, as we've talked about, one of the most popular Titans of all time. Ryan Tannehill won't be that. But Ryan Tannehill does deserve more respect. I would say any other, I guess there's always like, Treylon Burks, can you make some plays and go into the offseason with some momentum? Harold Landry's on a heater.
He is.
Harold Landry get a couple sacks and end up with really a fantastic, I mean, really, it is a fantastic
is.
Season. He gets credit for a fantastic season, which, again, you tell me that going into the year, and I'm like, oh, wow.
I really
like this team's chances then, you know? So, other than that.
Trey Avery, Mike, can I interject here? Trey Avery?
Poor Trey Avery.
I know.
John Glenn, it's your fault.
It is his fault, but sometimes it's about timing in life. It was interesting timing the other day.
Pardon me. Can I interrupt here, Mike?
Well, look, even like Danico Autry, right? I mean, it could be his last game as a Titan on Sunday. Now, I think if the Titans are taking a long, hard look at it, maybe it probably shouldn't be. You know, I'm not saying you break the bank for a 33-year-old, but he's been outstanding basically from the moment he walked in your building. So, you know, when you go through, like if you crunch the numbers – and you just go through his production since he's been here, he's on the short list of like best free agent signings in the history of the franchise, right? Like he's been outstanding with what he's done in three seasons.
No doubt. I mean, fantastic signing. I really thought we might see a little bit of regression this year. He's something else, man. That guy doesn't talk to anybody. He just puts his head down. He just goes out and just blows people up every week. I mean, he's something else. So, yeah, that'll be interesting with him, too, just the offseason. And at his age, you know, like it or not, I don't know what the market's going to be. But he knows he fits in this defense. And I would think the Titans would be very interested if it can work out to bring him back.
Jared from Spring Hill says, Harold Landry has some garbage time stats. He's undersized and probably another bad contract for what he produces. This is from Jared from Spring Hill.
Yeah, it's pretty bad analysis, Jared. I mean, I know it's, you know, 6 a.m.
That's a familiar
hour,
so. Phrase that's uttered out of your mouth. That's a pretty bad analysis.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, sure, okay, some garbage time stats. I mean, to me, the biggest win they've had in a long time around here, he was central. Was that garbage time when he was doing what he was doing in Miami?
I don't think so.
I don't think that was garbage time. I guess you, unless he's saying like the whole season at this point is garbage time. I mean, okay, but they're trying, man. They are trying to win every week. They're playing teams that are trying to win every week. That to me is not garbage time. Undersized. I mean, Harold Landry is a heck of a football player. He sets the edge, plays the run, he can drop, he rushes the passer. He is an all around excellent football player. That is
healthy.
Not a bad contract.
No, he's healthy now and. look, I think everybody would agree it was a slow start to the season for him, and there were times where it's like, man, Landry's not doing a whole lot out there.
Right. But
there's a reason for it.
Right.
Right. And, you know, he's coming off the ACL injury, and basically from the halfway point on, he's looked like vintage Harold Landry. And I think it's good news for the Titans heading into next season. Ken and Waverly says, how do you think Titans fans would react if they drafted two offensive linemen with their first and second pick? Maybe even their first, second, and third pick.
And all, how about the whole thing?
The whole thing?
How about the whole draft of a starting offensive lineman plus backups?
I'm not going to say that they won't do that. Like I mean, there's a scenario where they could draft offensive linemen with their first-round pick and their second-round pick. With their first three picks in the draft, I'm going to say that they probably won't happen.
Yeah, probably not. Look, I'm a believer in the big board. So the big board, if the big board says, hey, the best guy available is this guard, you know, when you're picking in the fourth round, then okay. But, I also am a believer in, like, you have to discuss need and understand need and weave the two together. You know, so that would be surprising.
But the thing for everybody to remember to continue more draft talk in January 5th.
It's Ken's fault. Your fault, Ken.
Thing that everybody needs to remember about this year's draft is that at the moment they do not possess a third round pick, based on the moving around that they did last year. They got a first rounder. They got a second rounder. They do not have a third rounder.
Yeah.
So it'd be a good year to have a third round pick.
It would be a good year to have multiple picks in every round.
Yes, it would. They do have 2 7th rounders, in case you were wondering. So a couple opportunities there, Joe.
So Jared, I just want to read Jared from Spring Hill. He didn't really start doing much against solid opponents. We know the Miami Mirage is a fluke. He's 6'2 and 240. So also, like, are we talking about like Harold Landry's draft status now? The guy's been in the NFL for several years. All of a sudden he's undersized? What are we doing here? I'm sorry to get after you, Jared, to this extent, but what are we doing? What are we talking
Who's
about?
Who's more undersized, Harold Landry or Aaron Brewer?
You know, that Derrick Henry, 6'3", 250, that's a little big for a running back. I don't know about this guy. I don't know.
It's like we've seen Harold Landry play and be productive in the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't think all of his stats come in garbage time. I'm sure there have been a few sacks he's had this year, right, which have probably been in garbage time.
I mean, the Miami Mirage is a fluke. Well, it is a fluke when it comes to, like, this team. It's a bad team, 5-11, so that's one of those wins. It's hard to explain, but he made great plays against a team trying to win that's going to be in the playoffs.
Any excitement for the opportunity to keep Duval out of the playoffs on Sunday?
That's a good point.
I feel like Titans fans should be fired up about that.
I think so. Vrabel almost acknowledged that the other day, and then he sort of just basically was like, well, they kept us out last year, but he didn't want to go to the yes, we want Vrabel. But, yeah, I don't think Titans fans would love that. I mean, I know, obviously, if you get into arguments with the Jags fans now, they're just going to be like, yeah, okay, poverty franchise.
Yeah, things change quickly in this league. Apparently.
But still, you can have some fun with Duval.
Yeah.
So I would think so. I know a lot of Titans fans are still going to be like, yeah, I don't care. Top five pick, don't care. But I think there'd be some I know in the locker room, in the building there would be, but I would think with the fan base there would be too.
By the way, Trevor Lawrence has been limited the last 2 days with a right shoulder and a left finger. So a right shoulder injury and a left finger injury.
Okay.
He's had the concussion this year. He had a high ankle sprain. It's been a rough few weeks for Trevor Lawrence.
I was just going to ask you, is that a high finger?
I don't know.
High finger strain?
They didn't specify which finger on the left hand he's dealing with either. I feel like they're a little bit more specific.
What would be the worst? I guess your index, right?
I guess so.
But then the thumb would be bad too.
Would you put
thumb on the injury report? Would that be a finger?
It's a good question. I feel like I've seen thumb before on the injury report.
A finger's not a thumb, but a thumb is a finger.
Yeah.
Okay, Jared.
Why you come to this program?
That's right. Let's go to – okay. Jared said, I've just never been sold. Sorry, I'm on one today. Thank you for entertaining me and shutting down my bad takes. Oh, Jared, you're being way too kind. I call into Stillman and text into the biggest lie in Tennessee is we will get to your phones on the Stillman Show. So this is really about Jared.
Oh, yeah. I like
there
it.
There it is. Well, thank you for taking my insults, Jared, in stride. 6 o'clock hour.
Going to next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's that time of the week. Time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your called shots, your bold predictions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Well, you've already called out one of your excellent. Let's just go to your stuff. Let's say Robbie Nico, TD pass on the first drive. All Twitter claims a natty. That didn't happen. Well, the second part may
have
happened.
They're claiming a title, yeah.
This is how I wrote it. This is how I wrote your shot down. So you said Iowa will score 20 points, and I just wrote in all caps, holy crap. So
they did not quite make it to 20.
Yeah. It was a – yeah.
Did they make it to 20 yards?
A bit shy. I don't know. Passing? Like, there's no way they made it to 50, right? Preds and Red Wings combined for 11 goals. What was that final
They had
score?
9.
Yeah, you were very close there. And Derrick Henry more than 100 yards from scrimmage. The Titans 24 points. Neither of those were close.
Good gracious.
Connor had Preds beating the Wings 4-2. O'Reilly with 2 goals and assists. And he had 250 and 3 for Nico. That's a little bit much. I said Nico more than 200. Nope. With 2 touchdowns and 2 picks. No picks. 1 touchdown.
Oh. 4 total.
Here's some more smart analysis. Iowa will score 2 touchdowns. Why did I write holy crap on your thing and I said I was
going to
score 2?
That's because I just took it one step further. I don't know.
I mean, I had him with at least 14. Will Levis will have more passing yards than C.J. Stroud? No. And then I had Milroe with a rushing touchdown of more than 70 yards, which he did not. And he also, nice play there at the end, Bama.
Nice snap, too. It's good stuff. By the way, yeah, he immediately transferred, right?
Yeah, he immediately got in the portal. I mean, I can't imagine. Like, yeah, we rip on Vol Twitter. I mean, what do you think Alabama football Twitter is? That dude. I mean, I hope he deleted all his accounts.
Yeah, imagine it didn't go over the well. Nick Kieser, no. Your called shots for this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's start things off with some more hockey. So it's World Juniors right now. So we got a fabulous.
Get excited.
Yeah. Hey, I love watching this, okay? Give me a break. I love watching this. At 1:30, Team USA takes on Sweden after a really, really close game yesterday where Team USA had to come back down 2-0 after allowing 2 goals, and good to see them win. I'm going to say Team USA wins 5-4, Joe, and I'm going to say that they do so... They will also do it in comeback fashion. They will also come back down from 2 goals.
Okay.
So this you think qualifies as a called shot?
Yeah, why not?
Is that a shocking prediction?
I mean, I'm calling a championship gold medal game.
All right.
A little bit more sass coming from Kieser this
morning.
We'll
keep working on it. All right.
He did not get his beauty sleep last night, and he is all over you today.
I'm just saying it's a gold medal game.
All right. Yeah.
My second called
shot. It's a prediction.
Okay. Derrick Henry this weekend and perhaps his final game, we'll see, will have 2 touchdowns and at least 125 yards rushing. It's been kind of a slow season for him at times, and so I've seen him struggle. So I think that's pretty fair for possibly his last game. So Derrick Henry, 2 touchdowns, 125 rushing yards.
Okay. We'll count that.
Joe Rexroad, your call shots for this week.
All right. Derrick Henry will have a reception of more than 30 yards.
Okay. That's a called shot. High point the ball?
No, I'm not saying. I don't know. I'm not saying
just a reception of any kind.
Yeah.
This could be the last chance for the wheel route.
That throwback screen has had some good moments. Maybe it's time for one of those. But I'm with you. They need to try the wheel route. Harold Landry, just because of you, Jared, from Spring Hill. 2 sacks for Harold Landry to wrap it up. Matt Duchene, hat trick at the expense of the Preds.
Oh, boy.
At home. And finally, and I do think this is absolutely a called shot, even though we know what he just did at Texas. Michael Penix will throw for more than 300 on that Michigan defense.
That's a shot.
A feat. Yes. Yeah. So there you go.
My called shots, Michael Penix with an interception on the first drive of the game.
Ooh. Okay.
Just first drive of the game.
Yeah.
Interception on the first drive of the game. Preds get shut out in Dallas. 0 goals for the Preds coming up tomorrow in Dallas. I just got a feeling. We'll see how it goes.
We're seeing some good stuff from the Preds tomorrow.
Yeah, really.
In Dallas.
Really think this is going to go very well for them. Trevor Lawrence will throw 3 interceptions on Sunday, dealing with a myriad of injuries that he's dealing with.
Wow.
And finally, Derrick Henry will finish with more than 30 carries. More than 30 carries for Derrick Henry on his way out.
That's a shot.
It is. I don't think he's even approached that this year, has he?
I don't believe he's exceeded 30 this year, no. But, yeah, if he gets that would obviously mean they're in control of the game, or at least it's they're close in the game. I could see them being like, you know what, give him every possible carry you can give him.
Matthew from Jolton says, Michigan will win the Natty by 21. Titans will beat Jacksonville by 10. And how about this one? UC Saros will be traded around the same time as Tyson Berry. This is from Matthew from Jolton.
Okay, well, there you go.
That's a shot.
Getting into the Saros.
That is a shot.
That's a shot.
Justin says, Derrick Henry will have 2 touchdowns against Jacksonville. Does that count as a shot?
That's kind borderline. That's on the Keezer side of things.
Wow.
Ed says, in honor of a nostalgic week, the Nissan Stadium grounds crew sets fire to the introduction tunnel as Derrick Henry is being introduced. P.S. There goes my resolution for being more positive. It's from Ed. On the text.
That's outstanding.
We need positive PK.
Thank you, Ed.
Oh, God. What a day that was.
Was it you that made the punt, like, after that game? The field was set on fire in the pregame, and little did we know that was an omen of what was to come for the Titans in that game.
I don't remember, but sure, if I'll take credit for that. Derrick Henry's season high, by the way, 25 this year. Okay. 25 for 80 against the Chargers.
Okay.
So there you go.
I got a text that says, hot take, Michigan wins the national championship, and in the offseason, Harbaugh faces a hefty suspension for sign stealing. The Titans trade or part ways with Vrabel and hire Jim Harbaugh to be the head coach.
Oh, bring in the Harbster. The Harbster. We had someone put together a little illustration with him with the Tennessee, T-E-N-E-S-E-E, yeah. Titans.
Yes. A butchering of our state being spelled incorrectly. But, yes, we did enjoy the graphic. A lot of people saying, I think we've got.
Bring the Harbster.
We've had three. Yeah, now 3 people on the text line. 2 touchdowns for Henry in his last game with the Titans.
Yeah.
Are we going to count this? We'll count it.
I think a shot for him has got to be 3 or more.
If it's popular, it's gotta be 3 it works. Or more. If it's popular, it's good, Joe.
Well, I don't know if it's popular, a good life strategy.
If it's popular, it's almost for sure not a good called shot, right?
Yeah.
Well, damn it, give me 3.
Nick Keys are swearing.
We gotta get a hold of
him. All right, fine. I'm putting you down for 3.
What's going on in there, man? Good gracious. 2 rushing, 2 receiving, 1 passing. Tanner. How about that?
Okay, we're going to put Tanner in here? Okay. Yeah. All right, tell me again.
2 rushing, 2 receiving, 1 passing. Monster day for
Derrick
Henry.
That's
a shot.
That's calling a shot right there.
Speaking of Derrick Henry, we'll get more into him coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe Rexroad with a nice conversation with Derrick Henry earlier this week, leading into what could potentially be his final game with the Tennessee Titans. We'll see what Joe learned coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.